The headlines this hour. The Taliban say over a dozen Americans have died as a U.S. helicopter crashes in Afghanistan. The Austrian president wins a second term in an election marred by low voter turnout. And Iran's securities organization head says incentives are offered to foreign investors.
Well, it's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News and Press TV.
Thanks for joining us. Our top story this hour, a U.S. military helicopter has crashed in western Afghanistan. The incident took place in Fanah province. Taliban militants claim they shot down the helicopter. They say at least 13 U.S. troops were killed in the incident. Afghan officials have confirmed the crash and launched an investigation. They say it's still not clear what exactly caused the helicopter to go down. Press TV's correspondent in Kabul tells us more about the incident.
Local villagers in Khak Safed district of western Farah province said that the helicopter in the sky was on fire and then it went down. And they say that it has been brought down by the Taliban militants, because that district, Khak Safed, the Taliban militants reign supreme there. And given the facts on the ground, we see that the conditions are now very dangerous for U.S. and NATO helicopters in Afghanistan.
Well, the latest opinion poll in Germany shows some 70% of the population support the immediate withdrawal of German troops from Afghanistan. This is while Chancellor Angela Merkel now argues that the presence of German troops in Afghanistan is directly related to national security.
Merkel is now repeating what, for example, Obama and Gordon Brown have been saying increasingly for the last year, because in both those countries there is very limited public support for the war in Afghanistan, and they've been trying very hard to present this idea that the security of Britain or the security of the United States, and now that Merkel is saying the security of Germany as well, is dependent on the foreign military presence in Afghanistan. And I think a lot of people, certainly in Britain and I'm sure in Germany as well, would actually say the opposite, that the possibility for insecurity, the possibility for attacks inside Britain or inside Germany or inside the United States is increased by the foreign military presence rather than what Merkel is saying.
Well, the polls show that some 53% of the German public do not believe that national security is being defended through the Afghan mission. Germans are also growing increasingly frustrated with troop casualties. A total of 43 of German soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan since the U.S. had invasion of the country back in 2001.
Austrian President Heinz Fischer has won a second term in the country's presidential election. The 71-year-old president should now serve for another 6 years. Final results show that Fischer has gained over 70% of the votes. His main rival, Barbara Rosenkranz from the far-right Freedom Party, won only 15%. More than 6 million people were eligible to vote, but the turnout is said to have been low. The presidency is a ceremonial post in Austria. Well, Hungary's biggest opposition party has won a two-thirds majority in the runoff parliamentary elections.
The center-right Fidesz has now the power to make deep structural reforms and even change the constitution. With almost all the votes counted, Fidesz has won 68% of the vote. The ruling socialists have come second with 15%. Fidesz leader Viktor Orban is now set to become prime minister. He has promised to create jobs, lower taxes and reduce bureaucracy to boost the economy. Hungary is among the hardest hit by the world recession.
Iran has successfully ramped up major military drills in the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz. Let's take a look.
Iran Iran has held the fourth and final day of major military drills in the Persian Gulf waters and the strategic Strait of Hormuz. In the last phase, the Islamic Revolution's Guards Corps, or IRGC forces, successfully test-fired several domestically made naval missiles. Among them were NASR with a range of over 300 kilometers and Nur Smart missile with a range of 120 kilometers. Naval, air, and ground units from the IRGC participated in the four-day military exercises. On Saturday, IRGC ground forces used smart artillery munitions in the third phase of the drills, which mainly focused on defending Persian Gulf coasts and islands. The drills also included operations involving mine-carrying divers and rocket-launching vessels. Home-built drones, capable of detecting and intercepting intruding aircraft, were also successfully test-flown during the military exercises. Iran says the maneuvers were part of its defense program aimed at maintaining peace and security in the Persian Gulf region.
These maneuvers convey the message of peace, security and friendship to regional states. They also show that regional countries are capable of securing the region by themselves. The drills also can be seen as a serious warning to countries outside of this region that seek to create insecurity in the region.
A delegation of Qatari military officials also visited the area where the drills were held. They expressed hope that the drills could help improve the security situation in the region.
Well, Iran's foreign minister has told the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency that the nuclear fuel swap proposal is still on the table.
Manoushehr Mottaki met Yukiya Amano in Vienna.
The meeting was very friendly, and I am very happy to continue the dialogue.
As His Excellency Mr. Amano mentioned, we had friendly and usually the diplomats consider constructive discussion, and the production of the discussion, diplomatic discussion, is should be considered as a process. That's why we have agreed to continue our negotiation in the future, particularly on the field of exchange formula.
Well, the Iranian foreign minister said Tehran's agreement to swap low-enriched uranium with higher-enriched fuel is a goodwill gesture. Mottaki assured the IAEA chief that the Islamic Republic will continue cooperation with the agency and will fulfill its commitments. Earlier, the IAEA had offered Iran to send its low-enriched uranium to Russia for further enrichment. Iran wants a simultaneous fuel exchange on its own soil. It needs the fuel to power its Tehran research reactor, which produces radioactive isotopes for medical purposes. Well, Iran's foreign minister has also held talks with his Austrian counterpart Michael Spindelegger during his visit to Vienna. Our correspondent Eva Manasieva tells us more about their meeting.
What he discussed with his Austrian counterpart, Michael Spindelegger, was, of course, the danger of new sanctions against Iran. Everybody at this stage hoped that this will not happen. Minister Mottaki said that this is going to be very counterproductive, as three set of sanctions have already proved nothing and have reached absolutely no result. And regarding the fueling of the research reactor in Tehran, he said that Iran has the full right to receive the nuclear fuel as a member state of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. And the proposal that Iran made for a swap of its fuel for higher enriched uranium is indeed a sign of very goodwill that Iran wants to resolve this issue diplomatically.
Well, Iran's parliament speaker says the Islamic Republic has managed to successfully overcome all crises created by the United States.
Ms. Ali Lodijani says the U.S. must understand that it cannot bully Iran and should respect the rights of the Islamic Republic. He praised Iran's nuclear achievements, saying they are valuable possessions for the country. Lori Johnny was speaking in a ceremony marking the 30th anniversary of the failed U.S. military operation in the eastern Iranian city of Tabaz. Here's more.
30 years ago, on April 24, 1980, Operation Eagle Claw failed. The operation was designed as a complex two-night mission to rescue 52 American hostages in Iran. The operation was aborted when three helicopters that were part of the operation were damaged by a sandstorm and forced to return to the carrier USS Nimitz. As the U.S. forces prepared to leave Iran, a refueling accident led to the remaining helicopters and a C-130 Hercules refueling aircraft being destroyed or left behind, and the death of five airmen and three commandos. Jimmy Carter, ex-U.S. president, had kept Operation Eagle Claw completely covert and accepted full responsibility the next day after the plan had gone wrong. Carter's wrong decision and failure had serious consequences for the United States and tainted its image as an undefeatable military might.
Planning and execution of Eagle Claw was done by the Pentagon. Using the Delta Force, which was one of the most elite forces, had made many Americans believe that execution of that plan, in addition to freeing the American spies, will lay the ground for a military defeat of Islamic Republic of Iran. And thanks to God, their dream was not realized.
Many experts believe Operation Eagle Claw's failure, regardless of careful planning, was due to divine intervention.
At about midnight or 1 a.m. on April 25th, all of a sudden in Tabaz Desert, there is a sandstorm. Vertigo is the term used by pilots describing a state where the pilot loses all sense of direction. He does not know if he's up, down, left or right, and exactly at this time, when the pilot has gone vertigo, he crashes with the fuel tanker aircraft, causing a huge explosion. This is a miracle.
Not long after the failure of the mission on May 6, 1980, the Iranian embassy siege occurred in London, which ended in a successful assault by the British services. Operation Eagle Claw proved that military solutions are unpredictable, and there's a difference between carefully planning an operation on the paper and execution of that plan on the ground. Arash Khalatbari, Press TV, Tehran.
Iran gives incentives to foreigners who want to invest in the country's financial market. The head of Iran's Securities and Exchanges Organization has told Press TV the country will give tax exemption to foreign investors. Ali Saleh Abadi said there will also be few formalities for the foreigners. Saleh Abadi added that foreign investors run lower risk in Iran's stock market compared with other regional countries. He said the global financial downturn has had little impact on Iran's financial market. Saleh Abadi added Iran's financial market is expanding and there are good prospects for growth in the sector.
Now, in a significant development that has taken over three decades, the British government has conceded it will pay Iran over $600 million for an arms contract that went sour after the fall of the Shah. Press TV's Fona Alam reports.
The Chieftain tank was all the rage in the 1960s and 70s. At the time, the United Kingdom agreed to sell 1,500 of them to Iran's increasingly despotic dictator. London couldn't believe their luck when Shah Pahlavi paid the bill, said to be almost $1 billion up front. But shortly after, with just over a tenth of the tanks delivered to Tehran, the Iranian revolution ousted Shah Pahlavi, and an Islamic Republic was born. The deal between the two countries went sour, with Iran's new leaders rejecting further tank deliveries, and the British government appointed arms dealer refusing to refund the balance.
I think it was very important to recognize that the Islamic Revolution was one of the most popular revolutions in the world. It was masses, almost you could say unanimously, masses came out in the street in support of the revolution. So what the British government did wasn't just shunning the government, but it was actually shunning the whole of the Iranian nation by saying that, you know, we will ignore you, we will support the tyrant Shah, but we will not support you as a nation.
To add insult to injury, the tanks were sold to Iran's most belligerent enemy at the time, Saddam Hussein of Iraq. A legal battle ensued in a Dutch court and has lasted since, until of course now. This week, a British newspaper reported that the UK is to pay back over $600 million, including interest, to Tehran after finally admitting defeat. But the UK isn't the only country that's been holding Iran's money and its goods. There are other countries that are not living up to their contractual obligations with Iran. Do you think this sets a precedent for them?
Well, I think it has to be. Really, I think it's really the international community and international law needs to sort of act much quicker. 30 years is far too long. And I think from now on, we're going to see a whole spiral of events like that. United States is holding huge amount of money, France, Italy, the rest of the sort of European nations. And indeed, all that needs to be returned.
A British government spokesperson was quick to reassure that the settlement amount won't come from the defense budget, but from the government-owned company that made the deal. She also said European Union law prevents Iran from accessing the funds until sanctions are lifted. Farina Alam, Press TV, London.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. Time for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. The Taliban say over a dozen Americans have died as a U.S. helicopter crashes in Afghanistan. The Austrian president wins a second term in an election marred by a low voter turnout. And Iran's securities organization's head says incentives are offered to foreign investors.